We have a choice to make, to choose to follow God or to choose to follow and live in sin. It's a choice we all get to make.
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
In wonder, knew the need.
Good morning. That's good. Glad to have you all with us this morning. Well, I hope that you had a good week. We come to prepare to worship. We're going to talk about Romans. And Romans is probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. I want you to think for a minute about if you had to pick a particular book in the Bible that brings you a lot of comfort, brings you a lot of word of inspiration, what book would that be? And if I had to pick it, mine would probably be Romans amongst others. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But let us gather this morning for worship.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Later, God tested Abraham and called to him, "Abraham." "Yes, here I am," he answered. God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut the wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. 2 days later, Abraham saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his servants, "You stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go over there. We'll worship. After that, we'll come back to you." Then Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and gave it to his son Isaac. Abraham carried the burning coals and the knife. The two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said, "Father." "Yes, son," Abraham answered. Isaac asked, "We have the burning coals and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, son." The two of them went on together. When they came to the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied up his son Isaac and laid him on top of the wood on the altar. Next, Abraham picked up the knife and took it in his hand to sacrifice his son. But the messenger of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," he answered. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you did not refuse to give me your son, your only son." When Abraham looked around, he saw a ram behind him caught by its horns in a bush. So Abraham took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." It is still said today, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Then the messenger of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I am taking an oath on my own name, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not refused to give me your son, your only son, I will certainly bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of their enemy's cities. Through your descendant, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and together they left for Beersheba. Abraham remained in Beersheba.
Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present. Your members to sin as instruments, no longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but you are under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you have been set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. The advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God. Amen. If you had to select your favorite book from Scripture, what would it be? Well, back when I was in seminary, I sort of fell in love with Romans because I had a wonderful man by the name of Calvin Porter, who was a professor of Scripture at CTS. And the final exam for that class, what we called exegesis of Romans, was, what is the question for which Romans provides the answer? Now, I went yesterday on the hunt hoping I could find that final paper, and I think before I moved one place or another, I may have decided I don't need this stuff anymore, and it went out with the dumpster. Darn, I wish I still had that, but oh well. But I know that one of the answers that I gave for that final exam was the fact that Romans provides the answer of which hope is the answer. We hear a lot from Paul about the word hope in Romans, that Jesus is our hope. But we also hear from Paul about our relationship to sin and God in Romans. And he's very clear about that. And he shares with us that we can choose to be free or we can choose to be in bondage. And that's a choice that we have. But we have to first decide that sin will not control our lives. And again, that's a choice. It's a choice that we have throughout all of our lives. And the struggle we have is that there are things that come our way that we don't necessarily immediately recognize as sin, but then as we get into them and they begin to weigh us down and they begin to pull on us and begin to distract us, eventually we realize that they are sin because they're taking us away from our joy, they're taking us away in our relationship with God, and they're interfering in our relationship with God, and therefore we need to rid ourselves of those things at times. And in order to get back into that relationship that we want to have with God so much. And so we have to make sure that we don't give sin and that desire or that ability to take us down that road. But unfortunately, because we all have what I call the human condition, we all have that human condition in which we're prone to sin. Came to all of us because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. But there are some things that we can do about that. We first of all have to identify our own personal weaknesses. And those weaknesses can become our strengths can even become our weaknesses if we let them get in the way as well. So we have to know what our weaknesses are. Where are those places in our life that we can get into trouble? Now, one of the things that I used to talk about it a lot, and I haven't done it recently because I haven't been able to do it, but I have to watch when I go into Hobby Lobby and Michael's and used to go to stamp convention, because the word need suddenly goes right out the window. It suddenly becomes a matter of W-A-N-T, I want rather than I need. And so when I go down, I haven't gone to stamp convention in a while, but when I go to Hobby Lobby and Michael's, and particularly when I get back into that neighborhood where it has all things related to stamping and paper and those kind of things, I have to really sit on myself. If you can sit on yourself while you're standing in an aisle, you just picture that, if you will. But I have to really use a lot of restraint, because I can just go hog wild and think crazy in a hurry. And thankfully right now I'm in a place where I just can't do that, because it's just not conceivable. But if I were, if I had all the money at my resources, believe me, but then on the other hand, when I'm sitting in my stamp room at my parsonage and I'm surrounded with all of the stuff that I have, that I've bought, that I thought I needed, notice I said the word needed when it really was I wanted, I asked myself periodically, do you really need all of this stuff? And sometimes I think, no, you really don't. And then about the time I think that, then I think, oh, but now wait a minute, I've got to put this or that together, so therefore I need that. So it becomes a vicious cycle. So we have to examine where in our life we have those personal weaknesses at, that we have to examine and we have to evaluate, and how they're getting in our way and how they cause us trouble. And we have to know that our skills and our capabilities can be used either for good or for evil. And when they're being used one way or the other, we have to recognize those things that tempt us. Not only do you have to recognize those things that tempt you, but you have to stay away from the sources of temptation. So I try not to go to places like Michael's and Hobby Lobby if I can help it at all. We have to practice self-restraint. Next week I'm going to talk about Brianna's hope, and as I listened to Russ last week talk about his journey. You know, there are folks in our world this day that are struggling with the issue of self-restraint. Have people that are struggling with alcohol and drug addiction and staying away from places, staying away from people that will cause them and lead them into places that they ought not to go is a challenge. So have we chosen to give ourselves completely to God rather than to those places and habits and behaviors that bring us shame, disappointment, and frustration? Question for us to answer. And rather than investing in those places, are we investing our time and talents and good habits and service to God? Are we leaning on God's strength and grace? Probably it's easier when things aren't going so well to call on God, but when things are going smoothly, well, I'm doing pretty well. I don't need to rely on that so much, but it's then that we need to rely just as much as when we're having struggles. Paul asks, are we really going to just go off and do what we want because we have the freedom of God? Paul says, absolutely not. We're still required, even though we choose to follow God and do what God asks, we're still required to make sure that we follow the commandments of the law. Might I remind you? You know these, but I'm just going to remind you, because somewhere in the world we don't let these be advertised anymore, and so maybe we've forgotten. The Lord alone is God, and we'll have no other God before us. No idols of any kind, because our God is a jealous God. And that we won't misuse the name of the Lord our God. We're going to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy whenever that Sabbath day falls, for we know that there are people that have to work on the Sabbath day. So when they find their Sabbath day, we have to keep it holy. Honoring our parents, our mother and our father. Not committing murder. Not committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, not wanting somebody else's stuff. In addition to that, we're called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are part of what it means to lean into God and trust in God's grace. So we have a choice to choose who we'll follow. Are we choosing to follow God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And the example that has been set for us in those entities? Or are we still choosing to live in sin? We have that human condition. But fortunately, because of what God does, God can put us back together spiritually. He can put us back together and make us right when our human condition pulls us aside and takes us in another direction. So if we're learning and living and being obedient to Christ and following his way, we're asked to be obedient to a teaching that Jesus set out. Jesus died for our sin, was raised to give us new life. And the early church's statement of faith found in 1 Corinthians says this: "This is the good news which we received and in which we stand and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sin, was buried and was raised on the third day, appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe in Jesus the Christ, the anointed one of God, firstborn of all creation, firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things unto God." Amen. We have a choice to make, to choose to follow God or to choose to follow and live in sin. It's a choice we all get to make. This is not a neutral choice, a choice that we make from day to day, a choice that can be made when it's convenient. Yeah, things are going well. I'll let God be in charge today, and then I'll make the choices when it's a little more difficult, and it really needs to be up to me. But it's a choice we have to make every day. It's a permanent choice, really. But when you make that choice, when you decide to make that choice and live in that choice, there's a gift that comes with it. It's a gift of freedom. It's a free gift. The gift of grace and the promise of eternal life. I was interested this week at one point, it wasn't part of the discussion, but we got into a discussion this week somewhere along the way about dying and heaven and what was going to happen after. Wasn't even part of what I planned, but they were ready to go there. So we went. That choice that we make offers us a free gift, the promise of life, the promise of eternal life, and it cannot be purchased or earned. We have to simply say thank you to God and live our lives in thanksgiving and live to serve Jesus as our master. Being obedient to him and not living in the bondage to sin and free choice and our own free will and what we think is best, because that leads us in places that we really don't want to go. So my question to you this day, will you and are you living in the freedom of Christ, or are you choosing to live in the bondage to sin? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that each day we get up, we will live into your obedience, we'll live into your world, and that we will live not to ourselves, but we'll live to you and seek to follow you. It's not our business, it's your business that we're about. And may we be about your work each and every day. We ask all of this in your name we pray. Amen.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.